Chapter 20, Walking Each Other Home, with thanks to Ram Dass. Life in the Rearview Mirror. Summary. I hope you found this audiobook a good listen. I also hope that you've been late to a few meetings because you sat in the car and needed to hear the end of the story. With the insights and experience of 65 other people, we've explored the unfolding of the arcs of our lives from childhood to elderhood, the ups and the downs, the humor and the pathos. You've heard people talking from street corners, motel rooms, offices, cocktail parties, or wherever. I trust their passion and insight moved you as much as it did me. If there's any takeaway for you, perhaps you will feel encouraged to tell your own stories and grab your smartphone and record the stories of important people in your life. Trust me, they will be grateful to you for doing it. This brings us back full circle to the quote that I opened this audiobook with from someone in northern Siberia. What I fear most is that my life will pass unnoticed. What courage it takes to think such thoughts, let alone to say them out loud. My response to that Siberian person would be, yes, of course your life will pass unnoticed, as will mine, as will the lives of everyone listening to this audiobook. You see, our lives are of no consequence. We come and we go. Our children, and maybe our children's children, will remember us for a generation or two. Then, nothing. So what's the point? The point is our stories. The point is the joy of being with each other during our brief lifetime. The point is how we share our stories and how we listen to each other. So pull out your smartphone and start recording. What a great way to make someone feel that their life is indeed noticed, at least for a few precious moments. Perspectives. In Chapter 1 of this book, I quoted pediatrician Jane Hunter as she describes the bittersweet moment when she says goodbye to a patient who is entering young adulthood. Here, then, again, is Jane Hunter.
To have been in practice long enough to have seen the entire arc of this child's life up until the beginning of young adulthood was just one of the greatest rewards of the job. Both that joy of watching your child having become this wonderful young person and realizing that they were moving beyond me, them, so that our role in their lives diminished. It's a very, as you experienced, it made us all choke up. I think the exception of the child who was, very happy to acknowledge my role, but looking ahead at that bright future and watching me recede in the rearview mirror.
The line that hit me hardest is the idea that Jane is fading in the rearview mirror, and that is the way it should be. So too, in elderhood, we don't know what lies ahead, but we do know we don't have much time left. Our lives, for all the joys, the losses, the successes, the failures, are now fading in the rearview mirror. Connecting the dots. Looking in my rearview mirror, I see patterns. I see the dots of my life. If you're in the elderhood phase of your life, I recommend looking at your life backwards. Connect the dots. Your major failures, your major successes. The patterns will appear. The patterns of my life look like this. Lots of early failures. Success came later. Connecting the dots, I realized that it took decades for me to become a person capable of success. Along the way, I was always struggling with demons, the inner voices of self-doubt. Here's how I described it in a recent show.
So I've learned that there's this incredible force within us, and we have to deal with the demons from the past. You know, you hear these motivational speaker types, they say, oh, well, you can just change your programming, you know, and just self-talk and blah, blah, blah. I don't think so. I go with William Faulkner, who one time said, the past is always with us. In fact, it's not even past. Because as I was working in power speaking, I was trying to get stuff done, and I realized that I was hearing these voices on my shoulder. It was like I had a boat anchor or a 40-pound ball and chain, and these voices were saying, Rick, don't forget, you are in the slow reading group. Rick, you don't know shit about business. You've never even had accounting. You're faking it, Rick, and we all know it. And your damn wingtip shoes don't make any difference at all. You're not fooling us.
Those goddamn voices made me doubt I could do it. And when I did do it, I was plagued with what psychologists call the imposter syndrome. If I got good grades, it was only because I studied hard. If I got the job or the promotion, it was only because I wore wingtip shoes or knew the right people. Working on my PhD dissertation, I was pretty convinced that I wasn't smart enough, that the project was not serious research, and that I had a problem because my school was unaccredited. Just 3 months into my research, here are the verbatim notes I wrote to myself in December of 1973. I feel like I've selected myself into the big leagues with no authority to do that. I've taken on a role and a task that seems qualitatively different, more demanding, and with higher stakes than anything I have ever done before. I feel unprepared for the task and certainly not bright enough to pull it off. Similar feelings have dogged me down with every project I've ever done. When I launched the drag racing seminar, when I left psychology and moved into industry, when I left industry to start my own company, when I researched the Speaking to the Big Dogs project, and of course, even doing this audiobook. Have you ever felt that way about major projects in your life? Bet you have. I learned that massive self-doubt goes with the territory, but it must not and cannot prevent us from doing what calls us. Embrace the goddamned imposter syndrome. Grab it by the scruff of the neck and yell in its face, come on, bring it on! Bring on the dark side, you sons of bitches! Pessimism and self-doubt are the dark sides of success. We can only be torpedoed by what we refuse to acknowledge. We can never get to the light of success unless we recognize the dark side of failure. It's a balancing act. In your own work, I hope you too will take the risks. Look the imposter syndrome in the face and blast through that doubt and fear. It will help to define who you are. I have mud wrestled the imposter syndrome and won. It can be done. Elderhood. Elderhood is about looking back, remembering, appreciating. More, though, it is about being here for the next generation. Arthur C. Brooks has written extensively about the importance of knowing when it is all over. Few of us get this right. We want to continue in the glory of our most productive years. As one man who refused to accept reality said, I want to keep going until the wheels come off. For Brooks, though, it is far better to recognize the decline and adjust to the new reality. He says that to handle our inevitable decline, we need to nourish our linking to others, family, and friends. If we do this well, our own withering will be more than offset by the blooming in others. Let's talk about blooming in others. The biggest contribution of this book, and what I'm most proud of, would be the last part of it. Where it all comes together is in the four family stories. The story of the McGlynn reunion. The story of Tim McGlynn's life, her family saying goodbye to Laura During, and the community praising the life of Dave Stewart. I remember ironworkers Jose Hernandez's pride that the buildings will be there long after he's gone. I feel the same way about the video stories I made for these families. Their loved ones will be there on video for many decades to come. I just turned 82. My eyes grow dim and my memory fades. My thoughts wander back to my amazing career in the communication business. Late at night, with a glass of Jack Daniels at my side, I scroll through old videos, articles, and audio tapes. As I consider the arc of my life, I found it fascinating to have people tell me about the arcs of their lives, the experiences that have shaped them, and what they learned in the process. I realized that what I felt as a patient in therapy, when I was really listened to, as far back as age 16, created magic and really changed my life. I wanted to make that happen in the interviews that I did that ultimately resulted in this book. It's been an honor to have people sit down with me and my video camera and tell me about the most important things in their lives. It's all about trust. It's been a joy to write and narrate this book. Through the eyes of others, I've described the issues and experiences that define the three phases of our lives: childhood, adulthood, and elderhood. In a way, I can see you, my listener, as a partner in this process. Perhaps you are sitting across the table from me as a little kid, or as an adult, or as an elder person. We're having coffee or a glass of wine. We are sharing the stories of our lives. Can anything be more joyful, respectful, and growthful? Let her rip.
Sharing Our Stories, Tales of Resilience and Renewal, has been produced by Let Her Rip Productions and has been written and read by Rick Gilbert. Content review and editing by Susanna Baldwin, John Morin, Rachel Opadahl, and Larry Bouret. Audio editing by James Bennett Audio. We are grateful beyond words to the 65 individuals who generously gave of their time and insight to be interviewed for this book. We are pleased to acknowledge the following people and organizations for their generous contributions. Penguin Random House LLC for On the Road with Janis Joplin by John Cook. Musicians Terry Garthwaite, Nancy Gilliland, Jay Lehman, Richard Moosteratz, and Chris Miller. Willow Ray by permission, Cold Wiggy Publishing, copyright 2014. Heather Logan and TrevNet Media Corp, marketing, design, and technical support. Announcer, Greg Bazat. Audio and text copyright 2021 by Let Her Rip Productions, all rights reserved. Duplicating, uploading, or distribution of this book without permission is not allowed. If you would like permission to use material from the book, other than for review purposes, please contact Rick Gilbert at rickgilbert.net. You can see more of the author's work by visiting www.rickgilbert.net. And thank you for listening.